The word pleb has been used far too long to denigrate individuals using Bitcoin. The origin of the word came from Rome to refer to the common people or lower social class. It was a term that continued to be used in Europe to refer to the non-nobility. The plebs or plebeians were not landowners. In modern slang, it refers to people who follow the crowd, outsourcing all their thinking to the experts. While the term has been affectionately adopted by many individuals interested in Bitcoin as a way to signify that they were not bought by PodConf, it does not accurately describe who we are. The 40-hour per week podcast listener has been at the tip of the spear, adopting this new technology. We are builders who took tremendous risks to lay the foundation on which the future will be built on. The early pioneers in the American West were individuals who either left Europe or were ancestors of those who left Europe in order to settle the frontier. Many were slaughtered in the process. The ones that survived were the toughest, most determined individuals who were too stubborn to die. Let me ask you, are you a pleb or are you a pioneer? For years, we have waded into the unknown, experimenting with new wallets that have no documentation, deploying miners in ways that no one had ever done before. We have dived into command lines, installed alternative operating systems, and been at the forefront of going into the wilderness to settle it. Some of us have lost more Bitcoin than we even own today. We have blazed trails and through self-custody, have staked our claim on the Bitcoin blockchain itself, a claim that we can pass down to our descendants. Most of us have suffered in order to create a better future for our children. The pioneers who settled the West embarked on journeys of adventure and danger because they were not satisfied with their lot in life. The modern orange-pilled pioneers have done the same. We have faced being socially ostracized, labeled as fanatics. Some have even attempted to mock and ridicule us. We chose to continue forward because we had conviction, not only in Bitcoin as a technology, but in our own capabilities as individuals to think. Going against the grain of society is either a mark of bravery or insanity. What distinguishes the two is the outcome. We were not insane, but we were right. We are not a lower class. So let me ask you again, are you a pleb or are you a pioneer?
Welcome to this edition of the Bugle Weekly. This is Richard Greaser, and folks, pleb is dead. Pleb is dead. The reason why it's dead is because it was stupid from the offset. The thing you have to understand about the term pleb is like being European at the time of the founding of the United States. So all these people came to the United States. They were pilgrims. They traveled across the ocean. They were true pioneers of their time. The story of the pioneers settling the West, going into nature, going into danger, exploring the unknown in a hostile adversarial environment. That is what we're doing as Bitcoiners. We are not plebs. We are pioneers. We are the ones that are selling this feature. We're the ones that are demoing applications that are progressive web apps. We are the ones that are learning how to use the Lightning Network before there were tutorials made for it. We are the ones that are battling in the trenches, fighting the bad UX in order to be able to use this technology so that one day all the other NPCs can do it themselves. We're the ones trailblazing the way. We are documenting this process. We are documenting it as Bitcoin podcasters. In no way are we plebs. We are the pioneers changing the future of the world. It's time to just ditch that word, to ditch pleb. You know who's a pleb? The paper Bitcoiners. Paper Bitcoiners are the plebs. They are the ones that are refusing to go out into the future to trailblaze the way for people. They are actually actively going in the past. It's like the people that chose not to come to the new and explore the new world, that stayed in Europe, that stayed cucked. What are your thoughts on this, Ron? How are you doing today?
I think it's a very simple, once you recognize it. And I think you're right. The new plebs are the paper Bitcoiners, but there's a lot of people in between who they come up to the edge of the frontier and then they get nervous. They start to think, I can't handle the user experience roughness that I think I can. I'm getting comfortable. I kind of thought I got a little Bitcoin and I thought I was, you know, cycle or two in, I was going to be able to retire, focus on podcasting full time, relax by the pool like Dieter Bob. I just wanted to stay a pleb, a rich pleb, but it's not how it works. We're pioneers now. And if you have to say, you know, if you have to grieve your past pleb, that pleb who has died so the pioneer could be born, go ahead and grieve it. I wrote a song about that. It's called The Orange Pill Blues. And the Orange Pill Blues, it's, you know, he gets to the point where he's like, give me the two blue pills. I don't want the red pill anymore. I don't want the orange pill anymore. Give me two blue pills so it'll cure my orange pill ills. But the moral of the story is we're pioneers. And what that means, now that we're orange pilled, we can't go back. There's no going back. There's no going back to being a status cuck. There's no going back to, jab me harder, daddy. There's no going back to, I just do what the TV tells me to. Everything will be fine. You know, I can let the journalists on TV do the thinking for me. It'll be totally fine. But that, we can't go back to that. We just can't. It's like trying to go back in time. It creates interference. It's like a feedback loop that you just can't get through. But we're pioneers, and what we are sent to do is to blaze this user experience trail as far as we can. So that just like now, BlackRock, Fidelity, Wall Street, all these paper Bitcoiners come in behind us. And that's where they start to build and kind of create this new strong economy. And we're the ones that are out there making sure the economy will always be fine and making sure we'll always be able to afford our taxes, but there's no going back. And we're pioneers now. And a pleb is somebody who is stagnant. You can't listen to 40 hours per week and remain a pleb, I guess is what I'm saying.
Why do people leave Europe to come to what is now known as the United States?
No cigarette taxes, grow tobacco, be able to have that kind of freedom.
They came here because they were tired of being plebs. They could not own land. The monarch owned the land. They were tired of being plebs, so they traveled across the ocean, which was a dangerous experience in of itself. It's not like going on an airplane. Travel across the ocean. It's a difficult process. Probably getting seasick the whole time. High chance of getting disease. There's a high chance of death. And then they settle on the East Coast, and they're like, wow, there's this whole West that we can explore and we can travel to that's unsettled. We can go and start anew. We plant our flag. Plant our flag, and we might struggle, but we're going to struggle for the future generations, that our ancestors, our children, can benefit from our struggle. They can grow the civilization and prosper in this new world, in this new land.
But it takes that commitment. It takes that change of mindset to become a pioneer. And it can, but you don't go from pleb to pioneer. There's a middle process. There's a transformational process, and that's being a pilgrim. The plebs had to become pilgrims who became pioneers. And the pilgrim part is ironically the scariest part. It's not the, a lot of plebs know they want to be pioneers, but the pilgrim part, and Fundamentals knows this, right? He talked about it. on Rock, Paper, Bitcoin. It's convincing your family, convincing your wife, convincing your children, convincing your community, your church, that you're to become a pioneer with you, to come with you on this journey. And, you know, you just described like all the risks, all the unknowns, all of the hard work, all of the lack of pre-built user experience. You have to start from scratch, and it's very difficult to get yourself to be able to accept that. It's even more difficult to get your wife and your family to become pilgrims and go on that journey with you. And they might not even make it. You guys might not even make it on, you know, the crossing, but you have to try, because it's better to be a pleb. But if you succeed, if you build that user experience and you build that new, you know, sovereign citadel, essentially, on the other side, once the conditions become good enough, you'll be able to bring paper Bitcoin in, and the paper Bitcoin will attract the Jews. And once the Jews come in, that's where you start to be able to have, you know, Jewish lawyers, Jewish accountants, good culture, and, you know, like what we have is Hollywood, but the arts, you want to have the arts. And once you start to build that culture, then you keep moving west. And the further west you go, the more value you'll find. But not everybody's going to be coming to Philadelphia, coming to Boston, and going to make it all the way to San Francisco, to California.
Yeah, it's an important distinguish.
How do you convince your wife to be a pilgrim? How do you convince your wife, who knows the pilgrim story, that she's got to do that too with you? We might have to go to a place where there is no target. We might have to go to a place where, you know, there is no Bed Bath and Beyond or Bath and Body Works. There's no great user experience for women.
This was a struggle that many men had to deal with in the settling of the United States. So convince their wives to move out of the city, where there weren't these luxuries, that they had to let go of. They had to let go of the safety and travel into the unknown to face adversity.
And use beef tallow for their hair.
Yeah. I mean, even to like, if they were using beef tallow, you know, you go out away from civilized settled society into the frontier. If you're going to use beef tallow for your hair, you're going to have to butcher that cow yourself and extract the tallow yourself, because there's no butcher there for you. You're doing it yourself. It's a fully sovereign lifestyle.
You might have to spend your days wrapping your husband, you know, rolling your husband's cigarettes. Is that something you're willing to do? Or maybe, you know, maybe you'll, but you'll still, you and your husband will have to roll cigarettes together, your own cigarettes together, if you want to smoke.
And if you are trading with other people, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. But I think this is, you know, you're the pioneers of the digital world in many ways. We're pioneering this digital money for the first time, as far as we know, in human existence, that this is happening. And it's important. It's important to understand. But yeah, there's a lot going on in the world, Rod. It's been an interesting week. It's been an interesting year, to say the least. And I think we're kind of getting accustomed for the last, you know, at least 5 years of just like mayhem. It seems like every day the news cycle is, you know, journalists used to have to make up sensational news stories. Now you just get to report on what is actually happening. There isn't as much creativity needed in order to captivate the audience. We got Trump versus Elon, the fight. So Elon called, Trump a pedo, you know, the Maxis are upset about him. They didn't like that he spent his blackmail tokens. You've got Jeffrey Epstein being revealed to have invested in a hedge fund tied to Peter Thiel and Palantir. While, I don't know, it's some crazy stuff. You got the riots in LA. You got people getting wound up. And then you got the communists versus the Nazis. It looks like the communists are going to be victorious. it's a wild week. It's been a wild week. I have a feeling like it's not going to slow down. Like next week's going to be pretty wild as well.
I think what you right now is you're finding out that the leaders, the most powerful people, are distracted with their own internal disagreements. Elon Musk, he's spending his blackmail tokens on Trump this early in the administration. He's showing he was really upset about the budget. The first real big bill that came up in this administration, and he didn't, hit the big beautiful bill doesn't pass Elon Musk's purity tests. So instead of, Thomas Massey and Rand Paul, they're not voting for any bills that don't pass their purity tests. And this has been a theme outside of politics. Everybody's failing purity tests and people are ramping up the strictness of their purity tests. But Elon Musk, he duped it out and he blamed, he said Trump was a pedophile and that he was in the Epstein files. He played his hand and Trump just kind of decided, hey, like Elon's out of the way. I'm going to go suppress the riots and I'm going to go deploy the military into California and distract everybody from this. So it's all theater, whether or not it was scripted. It's theater. It's kayfabe. They're using riots in California. Think about it. Like, what does everybody in America love to see? They love to see LA burned. They love to see Los Angeles. They love to see California burn. So Trump's letting California burn. He's ratcheting up the riots for the summer. And, it's to distract you from something. Palantir? I don't know. Elon Musk? I don't know. Epstein? I don't know. But this is a pretty entertaining distraction.
Yeah, it is interesting. I find it strange that Trump's so motivated to try and prevent California from burning. You know what I mean? It's like, those guys are always trying to burn down the state. There's the thing about the left is they're always trying to burn down everything. And I don't understand why anybody wants to prevent them from doing it. Now,
right, it's what the democracy out there voted for. They voted to burn everything to the ground.
Yeah. I mean, it's what Mike Brock has been advocating for. I don't know why he would be upset when it's finally coming to fruition, in his hometown. He loves LA a lot. And you say it's a distraction. So it sounds like this is the first time that the U.S. military is getting deployed, at least on the books. Like, they do all sorts of funky stuff with the military stateside all the time, covertly. But the first time publicly, being reported actively by journalists that they're going to be deploying, it sounds like, the Marines in Los Angeles to go fight the Blue Hairs. Who do you think is going to win the fight? Do you think the Marines are going to win or the Blue Hairs?
No, yeah. So if that is probably what you think of when you think of what's happening right now, but that's why it's important as journalists to follow these so closely, like we do. It's the Blue Hairs are the military now. So the Marines are lesbians, non-binaries, Blue Hairs, and they're deploying to Southern California to fight the Mexicans and the black people. And that's been the showdown this whole time. So all the white people, all the like hillbillies, the hicks, the rednecks, like the guys who you would probably call racist, they're just hanging out, gambling on meme coins and, sports. And it's the Blue Hairs versus the minorities now.
I think that one of the most impressive things that has ever happened in the history of the United States is how the Biden administration was able to turn the military woke, especially the Marine Corps.
I mean, that's the ultimate prank, right? He's like, that Donald Trump is coming in, or at least they, in their mind, they said Donald Trump's going in. He's going to take over. He's going to be an authoritarian dictator. He's going to execute Project 2025. So how do we stop this? Well, we turn all of the military into they're gay and retarded. And then when Trump takes over and has power, his military is just a bunch of gay retards, just a bunch of woke gay retards. He can't win. You know, he can't take over. He can't conquer with a gay retarded military. So it's, you know, it was brilliant foresight, honestly. Well, if you think about it, if we're fighting the state, I'd rather be going up against gay retards than like the guy from, you know, Shooter with, Mark Wahlberg. He's like a sniper, or Chris Kyle. Like, no, fuck that. I'm going up against non-binary, like woke people.
Yeah. I mean, it's an impressive, you know, transition when you can change a culture so quickly. Like very like long standing culture. So like the Marines have always, and I have to preface, I never served in the military. And my understanding of the military is not like firsthand, it's secondhand of interacting with a lot of veterans throughout the years, reporting on the military quite a bit as a journalist. My understanding of the Marine Corps is the Marine Corps consists of the most retarded people in the military that are also, you know, like take pride in wanting to go kill people and also being politically incorrect. So if
they don't listen to 40 hours per week of Bitcoin podcasts, like they don't even listen to any Bitcoin, they wouldn't be there if they listened to Bitcoin podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Like it's almost sacrilegious not to call somebody a faggot in the Marine Corps or to say the words gay or retard. And then for it to turn into a woke, ecosystem in general, you know, it's just this, I can't even imagine what it would have been like to have.
They banned microaggressions from Marine boot camp. They can't even have microaggressions there. So do you think that, you remember you watch all these movies about Marine Corps boot camp, like Full Metal Jacket, like it drives a guy crazy who kills his boot camp instructor. That's not like that anymore. No, it's more like the teachers from TikTok are from Libs of TikTok are the ones that are leading the boot camp, you know.
Yeah.
These things, it's crazy.
The cadets in boot camp are dressing down their drill instructors for their white male privilege. Like the tide has turned. It's absolutely insane. So yeah, now the woke army is being directed at going and corralling the rowdy Mexicans and black people in LA. And it is going to be very, very interesting. But, you know, the Trump administration, you know, once again, is trying to revert course and kind of turn this around, like turn that, like make the Marine Corps retarded again and based. But I don't think he's had enough time to accomplish that. Like that's going to be, it's going to take a while to revert back, because you can't just like fire everybody, you know what I mean, and start over.
Yeah, and the worst thing about the Marine Corps, I talked to a buddy. So they have you have to address your drill sergeant, sir, yes, sir, yes, you know, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And they didn't add any pronouns because Trump took out the Marine Corps' ability to insert pronouns into those instructions for boot camp. So the Marines that are coming out of there, this is the only thing that's going for them. They're unable to address their non-binary drill instructors properly. They're misgendering them every time they try to obey an order. So they just get yelled at even further for being misgendered. And they come out of it. It's like they have shell shock before they even get out of boot camp. They've been yelled at and screamed at and punished in boot camp so many times that it broke their brains. So this could make them more dangerous than the retards of the past generation. Maybe we're underestimating them.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't necessarily call what's happening in LA a distraction. I think it's more. The operating the media apparatus, you learn how these things work. So essentially the CIA goes and these other groups go and they go drop a bunch of pallets of cinder blocks or bricks in a city. And then they deploy their assets and they're like, hey, let's get rowdy, start a riot, start throwing it in. So you've got the CIA fighting, in this case, the Marines, and you've got the journalists there, you know, documenting it. And the journalist's job is to go out there, you know, record what's happening in video, make it as sensational as possible, and terrify the boomers. Your job is to terrify, absolutely terrify the boomers. The boomers need to be quaking in their shoes. And then, as you do that, once the boomers are scared, then you come up with a solution, which is to surveil everybody with Palantir. We need to surveil everybody with Palantir so that the CIA agents don't start more riots. It's an interesting thing to watch play out over and over and over again. And, you know, LA is a good place to do this. LA historically has had a lot of rowdiness. Now, where do you think...
The LA, the Rodney King riots, I mean, that they burnt down a lot of Los Angeles during those riots. But one thing that came out of a great meme that came out of the 1992 riots was the meme of the rooftop Koreans, the Korean immigrants who lined the rooftops of their parts of town with guys with guns, sniper rifles, and they were there to protect, like they were like Kyle Rittenhouse's planted all over their neighborhood to protect it, to protect the property, protect their sovereignty. And, you know, this makes me think of the communists. I mean, there's so much conflict right now. It makes me think of the communists versus the Nazis. And I think that the Nazis are becoming, or they're kind of reaching the conclusion, perhaps, that they need rooftop Koreans to protect their nodes. You can't rely on core. You can't rely on the consensus making authority figures, the centralized figures, at least as they see them, to protect their nodes. So they need rooftop. They need a rooftop Korean software to snipe all the spam. And maybe that could be a solution. Maybe that's the only solution.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's not that hard to do this shit. So Adam Semeca came to an interesting conclusion the rooftop Koreans, the state really doesn't like people like this. They don't like it's why they tried to throw the book at Kyle Rittenhouse. They don't like it when individuals go out there and determine to protect their own property. It interferes with the operations that are happening. They don't like that at all. And Adam Semeca had a, you know, very interesting idea, which is that if you don't like the idea that CORE is merging the Operaturn PR, that you just don't update your node, that you don't necessarily have to run knots. And this is the thing that's so fascinating about like open source software. You know, my wife was explaining it to me. You could go on GitHub and you could fork CORE and have literally everything that you wanted in CORE, except for that one thing. And you can sit there as they roll out updates. So like, say there's some sort of update that they push because there was some sort of exploit that was found, and you could just merge that immediately into your repo with your very own implementation of CORE, essentially. And you could be your own Luke and not have to trust him and his weird parameters and whatever he's doing. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, following the fear of Bitcoin nodes. I know a lot of Bitcoin podcasters don't talk about this. They don't talk about this. You know, I don't know why they don't talk about this. It's probably because they don't understand it, or they don't have a wife that like mine that can explain it to them. But there's so many ways out there that you could be like the rooftop Koreans and you could protect yourself.
You could be your own rooftop Korean to protect your node. That's what people don't understand, is there's nothing preventing you from doing whatever you want to protect your node and to limit the ordinals from infecting your node. And you don't have to trust CORE to do it. I think this is like why everybody's like freaking out. It's like they want to trust Bitcoin Core. It was, they never thought they couldn't trust Bitcoin Core. I mean, some of the OGs have been through this stuff before, but there's so many people that have come into Bitcoin and been listening to podcasts for years who just didn't realize that they couldn't trust the core devs. They didn't realize the core devs should be allowed to have sex. They didn't know that there was even a question about the core devs having sex. They didn't know anything about these core devs. And now there's all this drama and it's like, I want to trust Bitcoin Core, but I think I have to trust the Nazis because at least they seem to be wanting to protect my node from outsiders, from invaders, from fucking riots, from fucking spam, from all this. It's like, no, you don't need the Nazis. If you don't trust Core, you can be your own rooftop Korean. You can go wherever you want to go.
Totally. There's more ways to, and this is why 40 hours a week is important, because you need the entropy to understand. You listen to one podcaster, they can have an opinion. Listen to another podcaster, they completely have a different opinion. And you kind of work through this process in your brain where you're comparing and contrasting what they're describing, but then you have to listen to a third podcaster to get a completely different opinion. You listen to all these opinions, and it's not about choosing which opinion to follow. It's about choosing your own opinion based on, you know, a wide assortment of information. And maybe the Bitcoin podcaster doesn't explain everything to you and spoon feed it to you, but maybe they prompt you in a direction that you can actually go and explore it yourself. And instead of just like listening to what this guy thinks about it, you end up on GitHub and you start looking at this stuff yourself.
If the core devs, just to turn this around, the core devs want to have that respect and authority, and they want their, because if you don't have to trust the experts, but there are some more expert opinions than others, they're going to have to do more than just sit back and rest on their credentials. They're going to have to reach out and break bread with Justin Betchler. You're going to have to reach out and break bread with Ocean and Mechanic and these influencers. If they want these influencers to recommend Core and say that they are worth, you know, respecting.
Justin Betchler, I'm wondering, so like Justin Betchler brought up a point. So he talked about how the Core devs are self-appointed. I wonder, do you think it would be reasonable to do like a tournament on Twitter, similar to Maxi Madness, as far as who the Core devs should be, and have kind of like a rotating or yearly competition in order to determine that? Like, would that be an effective way? Like to make it more democratic, should Teddy Bitcoins be a Core dev?
Yeah, is there any... This is an open, anybody can anoint them or appoint themselves to be a core dev. Some people think that they have to know how to code if they want to appoint themselves to being a core dev. That is a misconception. Shinobi is a good example of that. But most people don't have the confidence to appoint themselves to be a core dev. They have imposter syndrome. So they are projecting this sense of superiority or this arrogance or this elitism onto the core devs. But, you know, that is, if it's fair, the world's not fair. Perception is reality. So these core devs, they have to do a better job of showing people, or you just have to learn to become a core dev yourself. But otherwise, it's the heavily armed clown. He's helping people become core devs. But there's just no easy solution for this, for breaking this conflict, I would say, from that perspective.
I think one of the things that's limiting people from going out there and becoming core devs is the term pleb. People consider themselves plebs. They don't see themselves yet as pioneers. And I think this change, as a pioneer, you're already wading into the unknown. You're wading into dangerous places and facing your fears head on. You're not sitting as a peasant trusting your lords to take care of you and protect you for you, like when you're a pleb. And in this case, you know, there's the plebs and then there's the influencers and the podcasters. And the podcasters in many ways are like the lords, you know, protecting the plebs. As a pioneer, you can go on GitHub and you can join the mailing list. And you can, the barrier to entry to say ACK or NACK to comment that is incredibly low. Like, I think I could even figure that out without my wife's help. How to get on GitHub and say ACK or NACK. And then you're part of the discussion. You're not necessarily a core dev at this point, but you could learn to be. You could go take lessons from Heavily Armed Clown. He'll teach you how to code in Rust.
Yeah.
What did Luke say about Rust recently? He said
that it's woke.
What are your thoughts on that? Is Rust woke?
The Rust community is woke. I don't know if that makes Rust woke. That's a really good question. It's used by woke people. It's liked by woke people. It is maintained and its progress is driven by a lot of woke people. So, you know, Rust itself is a programming language. It can't be woke. But the argument that it's being groomed by woke people, by woke programmers, that would be a fair assessment. Yeah, Rust is being groomed by woke programmers.
So what's the based language? Is it Go? Is it C++? Or is it... I'm not a developer.
The based computer programming language is JavaScript. JavaScript is almost anybody can use JavaScript. It's a very blue collar programming language. It's moderate because it's tolerant to it. It's not if you want to be use TypeScript. JavaScript, if you're super based, because TypeScript allows you to have strongly typed variables. So you can say, this variable can either be a male or a female. There is no non-binary. In JavaScript, you can have non-binary variables. TypeScript. I guess it's TypeScript for sure. So it's TypeScript versus Rust. And those are your two choices. If you want to build a company, if you want to build on Bitcoin, if you want anything layer two and above, you got to use TypeScript, JavaScript, or Rust. So you got to be woke or based. And that might change in the future, but it hasn't changed in a long time. So we'll see.
That makes sense. I think Discord is primarily run off of JavaScript, correct?
It wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. I mean, almost everything, like even the most compliant, secure, or at least something that you would consider compliant, secure, especially, is built on JavaScript now. At some level, most of the apps on your phone are built with some sort of JavaScript.
So, like Zeus Wallet is primarily JavaScript. That's how they do their cool graphics in it.
Yeah. Zeus Wallet would be impossible without JavaScript.
Interesting.
So, like, some people want to use the, like Heavily Armed Clown, he doesn't just design what he wants. He thinks that Bitcoin Core will be using Rust. It'll be Rust Bitcoin within 5 to 10 years. So Heavily Armed Clown is just saying he thinks Bitcoin will be woke in 5 to 10 years. That's all we've got. So if you want something other than Core, you've got a fork now. Not, I don't mean fork consensus. I just mean fork. We need to balkanize Bitcoin clients. I said this yesterday. We need a Fed client for. I think it's coming for government, U.S. government official node. Because if you know you're interacting with a Fed client, if it at least identifies itself, it gives you a little bit. You say, all right, I'm dealing with a Fed right now. You could have, the most compliant node. You could have knots. You could have your own version of a woke Bitcoin client. You could have a JavaScript Bitcoin client that would be like a based Bitcoin client. You have anything. You could have Python. You could have Java. You could have Bitcoin Core, C++. So you could do one on C#. You do any Perl, PHP. Honestly, the only limiting factor is people's creativity.
I don't believe there's a JavaScript Bitcoin implementation yet.
I think, No idea. You might be right.
I looked this up recently. I was looking at all the different implementations. That's where I learned that there was a Rust Bitcoin implementation, and that kind of surprised me. So there is a woke Bitcoin node implementation out there. I think the majority of them are written in C++.
Yeah.
Like, I think Libra Relay is C++ as well. But yeah, anyways, so, on the front of the battle between the communists and the Nazis, it seemed like the Nazis made some progress throughout the conference. I left believing that, CORE was not going to merge the PR, but then learning this week, they likely will. It sounds like they are looking to do that next week. Is that correct, Rod?
Well, I think, the people I spoke with said 1 to 2 weeks. I don't know about next week, but before the 4th of July, for sure.
I think one thing that's incredibly important is when you're looking at a future date and you're giving somebody a timeline, you can never say 2 weeks. And the reason why is because they ruined that during COVID. They said 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and that 2 weeks turned into 2 years. That's just you can't do that. So it either has to be 1 week, 1.5 weeks,
or
3 weeks.
Or you could, if you want to say 2 weeks, you can't say 2 weeks. You can either be gay and say fortnight, or you could say 2,000 blocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Use a time chain reference. So at some point in the next 2,000 blocks, you should start, you should see that merge.
The next difficulty adjustment.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But a lot of the solutions, a lot of things we talked about in how to frame and think about the perspective of this conflict is very low time preference stuff. High time preference speaking. Do you think that there's going to be, we're seeing protests in Los Angeles over these ICE raids. Do you think we're going to see protests like this in the Bitcoin space from people who don't know how to code and don't think they have enough time to code, which they don't, probably most of them, before this gets merged? What do you think is going to happen? Is this going to be a bitter battle, or is it just going to go quietly?
I think it's going to be a bitter battle. There's a lot of talk on Twitter about fighting, like fist fighting, not just Twitter fighting, not just going into the Twitter spaces and calling each other retards, like a fist fighting. And I think that could be a reality. That's something that, oftentimes happens when, people feel like their religion is being threatened, is they throw down. And we very well could see things escalate. Conferences could be, significantly more contentious, times when people are meeting together. I would not be surprised, because these Nazis are really, they've really taken the stand that they do not want their nodes raped. And
yeah,
I think that's not hyperbole to them. They see JPEGs on their node actually as rape. And
this is, I think that you're very correct on the possibility or the inertia going towards there being some sort of physical consequences, physical violence as a result of this, debate about Bitcoin Core clients and things like that. And the code and the devs, you talked about like Bitcoin Trade Asanoa goals, are you threatened Shinobi? And it's only escalated from there. And there's this video series that came out a few years ago. And it included Eric Weinstein, and he talks about this term kayfabe. And kayfabe is like this stratification of fiction and reality that blurs the lines between fiction and reality by the complexity the form it ultimately takes. And it's why he talks about this it compares it to pro wrestling, why politics has become pro wrestling. And he uses a lot of good examples, and he talks about kayfabe emerges when there is an environment or a topic or a community that is extremely important, but very boring. It's like Bitcoin is such an extremely important technology, but it's ultimately, at when you boil it down to its basics, is a pretty boring thing to most people, the majority of people. So to create excitement, to create hype, to help it grow, and to gain more attention, you have to weave in these layers of fiction and reality and scripting and, you know, shoots and fake shoots, similar to pro wrestling, where there is at any given moment, everything you, the conversation, the mood, the subject is based on true reality. It's very unclear what is real and what is fake. And that is what's happening in the Bitcoin space. And you're starting to see kayfabe on the timeline. But when the kayfabe gets out of control, it can lead to real violence. And it uses examples of like some of these professional wrestling live events where people got really upset about the outcome of a match. And like the kids started rioting in the Madison Square Garden, and like people were literally injured. Like cops were attacked. The performers were fighting with the crowd because it bleeds over into real violence. I think there's risk of that happening here. I think somebody could be at a Bitcoin podcast or a Bitcoin conference and they get punched in the nose, and then they go on, they have to go on what Bitcoin did the next week with a black eye. And I think something like that could happen. You could see black eyes on podcasts as a result of this conflict.
It's very real reality. Yeah. I think this is, this is just what results, you know, when people feel powerless. And I think this is, you know, who seemed to appear to be some of the most like active and upset people when it comes to it comes to the opportune stuff. It's the plebs. Well, if you're referring to yourself as a pleb and you think of yourself as a pleb, of course you're going to feel helpless, because you're essentially telling yourself that you're too retarded to own land. You're self-limiting yourself. You're fucking
pioneer. Own real estate on the digital Manhattan.
You're telling yourself you can't own digital real estate, that you have to buy the paper Bitcoin, that you have to buy MicroStrategy, you have to buy the ETFs. It's not true. You can own real estate on the base layer today. You can be a landowner. You can be a pioneer. You can go settle the unknown. And you don't have to feel powerless as a result of it. You don't have to get into the situation of, I need to punch Shinobi in the eye because he called me a retard.
You really punch Shinobi in the eye if he called you a retard, if you felt like you deserved it. Why else would you punch him back?
Well, the reason why these guys are getting so upset about Shinobi calling him a retard is because they actually feel that way, because they look at themselves as plebs and they're essentially telling themselves that they're retarded themselves. That's why they're so upset. If Shinobi called me a retard, I wouldn't care. Shinobi doesn't fucking smoke cigarettes. He vapes.
Imagine having such a low self-esteem that you willingly join the Nazis and let somebody like Luke Dasher be your leader. You say, I need a leader. I need somebody to think for me and to be my Bitcoin gatekeeper. And I want to do it with the Nazis, and I want my gatekeeper, my leader, to be Luke Dasher, Luke Jr. I imagine having such a low self-esteem. I feel bad for the Nazis. It's like the Nazi client is for helpless plebs. And I would just hate to be viewed as a helpless pleb by myself, first and foremost.
It's like joining the Hitler Youth voluntarily. You don't have to do that. You don't have to feel hopeless. You don't have to call yourself a fucking pleb. You can be a pioneer. You can join this great endeavor to settle this world, to bring hyper-Bitcoinization by being a pioneer, not being a passive player, trusting the lords, the Bitcoin podcasters, to do it, trusting the king, Michael Saylor, you know, to rule the way there.
If you want your wife to get on board with being a pilgrim, show her what a husband pioneer is like. before you make that journey, before you get her to go. Sure, what a pioneer is like now. Sure, she doesn't have to be married to a pleb anymore. She could be married to a pioneer. And sure that where you're going, they don't need Dennis Porter to get erections. Maybe she'll be more on board with it.
Before we go into the fountain abuse, I did want to say, you know, real quick, I think one tactical mistake that much of the Bitcoin community has allowed to happen, kind of like the anarchist community in general, is to allow Saifedean to, and Svensky and these guys to parrot Hans Hermann Hoppe and discussing why monarchies are better than democracies and like how that's even like a relevant discussion to have. You know, people left Europe because monarchies are gay. They're fake and they're gay. They were tired of being plebs. They wanted to own land themselves. They didn't want the king to own the land for them, you know, and rent it to the lords. And then, you know, for the plebs to, you know, it's, and it, you know, in many ways, we're back at that kind of like feudal society. And I think maybe that's the reason why people, you know, they get done paying their property taxes and they're like, yeah, I'm a pleb. I don't actually own this land. I'm ceding it to or renting it from, you know, the lords, being the county operators who then are essentially accountable, you know, to the king. And in this case, the king being in the king's court being the president of the United States. It's monarchies are gay. They're fake and they're gay. People left this shit to get away from that. In the same way,
you think gay was there?
Yeah. So if you want to be gay, you know, continue to, you know, parrot these ideas by Hoppe and by Saifedean parroting Hoppe. Let's shut it down.
Yeah.
Let's shut it down, folks. Monarchies are gay. Democracies are gay too, but like monarchies are way gayer.
Everything is KYC in a monarchy. So if you love KYC, you love a monarchy.
It's like everything's paper Bitcoin. You know, the king actually holds the keys. And you might be living on that land, but you don't have control over it on the base chain.
You can't even hire a Jewish lawyer to help you if they try to take your land in a monarchy. At least if you have a Jewish lawyer, you have a chance in a democracy.
Well, I mean, they you can have Jewish lawyers in I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Well, the king doesn't listen to a Jewish lawyer in a monarchy. Well, there's no who's if you don't want Jews around, though, you might actually like a monarchy.
I think that would be a big mistake to want not what Jews
are. Oh, I agree. But I feel, yeah. Big mistake.
Like, who's going to make the movies?
Yeah, you want to be stuck on importing Netflix. No, thank you.
You want the white women to be making the movies? Are you fucking kidding me? The HR to take over? Absolutely not. All right. Fountain boost. First boost from late stage HODL.
I think his second tweet or his second boost is the one that with the right spelling. I think he was an error on the first one.
Late stage HODL. A lot of these guys double boost every week because it's a function. I wonder if it's like found in splitting it or just something like double sends it. But either way, the boosts are appreciated. Keep on double boosting. Hate I missed the event. Keep up the good work, boys. Really would have been cool to meet you at the event, late stage HODL. We like meeting our podcast listeners. It's one of my favorite things to do. I did a whole long tweet thread about that last night, and it probably wasn't like the most coherent because I probably should have been sleeping instead. It was very late. But yeah, I mean, we had a great time meeting our podcast listeners. Like, you know, one of them got Rod and I these really cool Zippo lighters.
They're awesome.
I got a couple Zippo lighters from different people, and that was pretty cool.
I got a Precision Prill from Barn Miner for free. It was awesome. Just gave it to me.
Yeah.
I gave him some stickers. And if you're a podcast listener and we haven't met before and we wouldn't recognize you necessarily. You might be a NIN and you do want to adopt yourself to us. Also, make sure you tell us how many boosts you've given us over the years, so we know how much respect to give you.
Have you used Maggie's cup yet? Her mug, coffee mug?
Oh yeah. I had an espresso. Mine's a little smaller. I had an espresso in it this morning.
Yeah, I mean,
Maggie's like she's a great girl, and like all girls, she's good at arts and crafts. She loves arts and crafts.
Absolutely. I gotta say, like it really meant a lot to everybody that got me a gift, like the Stardust shirt. Really appreciated that. I'm trying to remember if I'm forgetting anybody, because there was a lot of things that people gave us, and
Eric Kaysen gave us some cool shirts.
Shadrach didn't necessarily give me anything physically, but you know, being around him, being around Fundamentals, being around these guys,
a gift.
It is a gift. It's an incredible gift to hang out with our podcast listeners. Very, very special people.
Our podcast listeners are gifted. 100%.
They're incredibly gifted. Yeah, man.
They are gifted listeners. I love every single one of you so far.
Late stage huddle. I'm going to freak out when I meet late stage huddle. I'm going to freak out when I meet Goomba. A lot of these guys that... Yeah, we're going to have a good time. Hopefully it happens someday. It doesn't necessarily have to happen at the big conference, but you know, it'd be cool to meet people at our events that we plan on doing in the future around the country. Thank you for the boost, late stage huddle.
The next boost is from Dave, 40 HPW. He boosted 4,200 sats. Name your most valuable pleb of the PodConf Super Bowl. Easy. Adam Semeca.
Adam Semeca is not a fucking pleb. He's a pioneer. He is out there. He's building a Lightning wallet right now. He is one of the first people to do a Bitcoin transaction in a Steak and Shake restaurant. He is on the front lines.
He is the most valuable pioneer. There, thank you. We're not doing most valuable pleb. He is the most valuable pioneer. Adam Semeca is the epitome of a pleb to pioneer transformation. 100%. He's in Maxi Madness next year if he keeps up this pioneering experience.
Well, let's talk about who the most valuable pleb is. Do you think so? There's a few that we could pick from. There's like Peter Schiff. Peter Schiff's a pleb, fucking retard.
Peter Schiff's the most valuable pedophile, not pleb.
Oh, okay. So he gets removed from the list. Who else? There's Green Candle. Green Candle's a pleb. There's
I like Green.
Teddy Bitcoins, he's a pleb. He's a MicroStrategy shill. There's he wasn't at the conference though. Sailor's a pleb until it's proven that he actually custodies his own personal keys. His gay fiat company.
Joey from the Canadian Bitcoin podcast. He's a good pleb.
He doesn't run a node. Yeah. It's very plebby.
Oh, we got to hang out with Shane. Shame on you. He doesn't he doesn't have a hardware wallet. He's a great pleb.
Solo Satoshi's a pleb. He's like the
pleb. He's like the you know, like those pictures of J.E. Vance, or of like the really jolly Santa Claus around. He's like, he's jolly Max. He's got this big old bright red cheeks. That's Solo Satoshi, man. He's got that jolly maxing pleb.
He's a power pleb. He's a power pleb.
He's a power pleb. Yeah. Power pleb.
Dude, I think...
Literally.
I think that Solo Satoshi's a good candidate for most valuable pleb.
Yeah, 100%. He's decentralizing the network. Dude. Decentralizing the network is... Listen... That's a perfect example, because running a BitAx is a thing for plebs, not pioneers. Pioneers don't run BitAxes. Pioneers don't waste your time with BitAxes. But if you want to be, a pleb who this did access, he wants to decentralize the network. You just feel good about yourself despite contributing nothing. But yeah, it's a play move. You know, Solo Satoshi is your leader.
Yeah, I don't think you were at his panel, but I was at his panel and I didn't listen to a minute of it, but I saw him on stage. And just from seeing him on stage, it was electric. You could feel the decentralization there. It was palpable. I felt so inspired. I took a picture of him. Solo Satoshi wins most valuable pleb of the conference, in my opinion. Well, thank you for the boost, Dave. Sean for 4,000 sats says, Rod Palmer, bring the old voice back.
The people spoke, and I stopped going to my professional podcast classes.
I think we're going to see some volatility in your voice going forward.
Probably. But for now, do the people what they want.
I guess so. I'm not complaining.
The next one is 1,010 sats from Blizza. Gay feds everywhere these days. Tell me about it, man. There are gay feds everywhere. Reorange pilled a lot of gay feds, sad to say. And listen, I think a lot of those gay feds are, they're in a lot of these crazy esoteric Bitcoin and spaces related group chats, catfighting with each other and catfishing each other. Stay away from gay feds. So I have to say I'm the gay fed matter, at least this week. I'm sick of talking about gay feds.
Yeah, I'm pretty tired of it too. It's just call, if you see somebody that's gay fed, just call them a pleb.
Yeah, plebs, gay feds love calling themselves plebs. So when you hear that, run.
Yeah. Oh, next boost, 500 sats from Turkey. And then we got BTC on board, 300 sats, thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. Thank you, BTC on board. And I'll get, I think the last two are from Pies, it looks like. So 100 sats for Pies. I look forward to it. Hopefully it's a weekend. I don't go out on school nights.
We talked about going to the East Coast.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I was talking with Jeremy about when to run the event that we're thinking about doing. And I was kind of thinking Friday night would be, it's hard. It's hard, you know, because like on like the busy nights, it's harder to get a venue. But I understand how traveling on a weeknight might be difficult to do. Yeah, it's
more to come on that. So
I think we should take Pi's feedback on this one very seriously, though, because Pi's, we want you there.
There we go. Yeah. No. Yeah. Pioneers are tired on weeknights.
I get it.
Pi is the pioneer. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Strive to be like Pies.
Well, it's been
all right. Well, no.
It's been a crazy week, folks. And I anticipate the next week to go crazy at all. Or, to continue to be crazy. I just said a nonsensical sentence because I'm distracted. But yeah, we're going to be here with you through this next crazy week and the weeks going forward. Tune in to the Beagle News for the most thermodynamically sound news in the world. Thank you for listening to this episode, and we will catch you on the next one.
On a fateful day in 2008, the world changed forever. A white paper released, the contents so clever. Peer-to-peer cash to end government monopoly, subverting the system by ending the duopoly. When the state colludes with bankers to control the population, what results is destructive economic stagnation. But market demands form, demanding freedom and prosperity. An anonymous super coder flexed his dexterity. When people use Bitcoin, they undermine the system. When they submit KYC, they still resist them. Thermodynamics cannot be taught. An idea whose time has come will not be stopped. When Satoshi looks down at us, he would be proud. We yell, have fun staying poor at the North Corners in the crowd. Politicians say that NGU is the only option. Walking through TSA to hear your favorite podcaster. A strategic reserve of stolen funds, says the political master. When compliance becomes defiance, are we missing the point? Submitting to their authority in a security checkpoint. Satoshi envisioned PodConf controlling the narrative. Or did he believe that defiance was an imperative? When people use Bitcoin, they undermine the system. When they submit KYC, they still resist them. Thermodynamics cannot be topped. An idea whose time has come will not be stopped. When Satoshi looks down at us, he would be proud. We all have fun, stay poor, acting all corners in the crowd. Resisting surveillance with KYC and compliance. This is cypherpunk culture with the foundation of compliance. When Satoshi set out, he wanted more Bitcoin podcasts and influencers shilling products to the beaten and downcast. When he looks down at us from above, there is a tear in his eye. Satoshi is proud that the Bitcoin community is so alive.